punched its ticket to the semifinals, which will come up on Friday, 11:45. The Lynx will face number 2 seed West Hancock. Good show for you today. Wednesdays with Mark Ironside coming up in about 15 minutes. He'll preview the Big Ten Wrestling Championships. We've got a Bowling Night in America preview. At which Scott Unas will be on the lanes.
He's going to be on the lanes.
He wouldn't miss it. And then he's back in Des Moines tomorrow for a 10 a.m. or Iowa City High. He's not going to miss bowling, no.
You can't miss Bowling Night in America.
No, we'll give you that preview later on. But let's start off with a game that is still on a lot of folks' mind, and that is last night's 77-68 Purdue victory over the Iowa Hawkeyes at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Iowa's first Big Ten home loss of the season. It wasn't pretty. Iowa led for all of 29 seconds in this game. And we talked yesterday, Alex, about whether that game in West Lafayette that was won by 36 points by Purdue, whether that was an outlier or just a bad matchup for Iowa. And now I think we can say Purdue's pretty bad matchup for Iowa.
Yeah, for some reason. They've been able to exploit what Iowa tries to do against them, but to me, there's no way to sugarcoat how bad of a first half performance that was by Iowa last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did nothing well. Offensively, they were bad. Defensively, they were worse. And rebounding, they were inexcusable in the first half and really into the second half. I thought that they came out in the second half with a little bit more purpose on the defensive end of the court. They tried to get things going. I thought they played a better second half. But you can't put yourself in a 17-point hole like that and expect to climb your way out of it. And for whatever reason, Purdue was able to exploit that zone defense. And in Iowa, in the first half, was caught chasing a lot. There was defensive lapses after defensive laps in that first half. And it, like I said, nothing went well in either matchup against Purdue this year for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Purdue missed 32 shots. Rebounded their own shot 21 times. 21 offensive rebounds for Purdue.
It's hard to fathom.
Last night, they outworked Iowa, were quicker to the ball, were more physical than Iowa. And therein lies the matchup problem, I think. And plus, when Evan Boudreau, who's not going to be on anybody's All-Big Ten team, goes off for 14-14. And he was good. He was very good.
I really can't put my finger on what Purdue does to Iowa other than, like you just said, sort of they outworked him last night. For whatever reason, and Luka Garza admitted as much. He said after the game, he can't stand losing, period. We know that about Luka Garza, but especially when his team got out-hustled. And I'm sure he doesn't use that phrase lightly, but that's what happened last night. And it just goes to ask, I have to ask this question. You have so much to play for going into that game. You can finish the regular season in the Big Ten at home undefeated. You can put yourself in a pretty solid position to have at least a crack at getting into the top four in the Big Ten tournament and getting that double bye. And they came out the way that they did, as lackluster as we've seen them since the DePaul game at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And I understand the frustration of many fans seeing that. You know what? All year we've been talking about how this team is different, and I still believe that they are. They're more mentally tough than we've seen other teams in the past. But that was a game that I think a lot of people had put in the win column already, and they got thoroughly embarrassed in that first half.
319-366-1600. That's our phone line and our First Federal Credit Union text line. Go to firstfedcu.com. and check them out. Joe Wieskamp, who's been in a, well, you could say it's a prolonged shooting slump now. He and C.J. Frederick were a combined 5 of 14.
That'll do it.
From the field. Luka Garza didn't get any offensive support. Wieskamp did finish with 10. But he only got off 2 shots from 3-point range. 2 shots. And missed them both. Yeah. Frederick made a couple. But my point is, Luka Garza didn't get any offensive support. And the frustration you could see just grow as the game wore on.
You could see it building right away, couldn't you? You mentioned the 29-second lead that they have, and then Purdue went on a little bit of a run and made it 11-4, and then you're starting to get to that under 16 timeout, then that under 12 timeout, and then Fran's face is getting redder and redder and redder, and you start to see the officials make some questionable calls, and when you're down by 12 points, every call you feel like you're not getting, it becomes more and more of a frustration point. And then Fran gets the technical. And I thought, to their credit, they came out in the second half with a purpose. But like I said, they were down 17 at the half. And no matter how you slice it, you have to be perfect in the second half to come back from that kind of a deficit when you dig yourself a hole like you did in the first half. And it's just, they have nobody to blame but themselves for the way that they started such an important game on their home court on senior night.
We've got some interaction coming in on both the phone and the text line. Let's go to the phones first here, Alex. Who do we got?
We have Steve in Cedar Rapids. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just watching the game last night and watching Joe Wieskamp out there, he just doesn't look healthy. Or something's going on there, because there were times his first move was to pass the ball. I mean, it's like he'd be open on the three-point line, and he's not even looking at the bucket, and he wouldn't shoot it. So it's like, come on, you're halfway open. I'd rather have you shooting it than anybody else. But he just looks like he's not 100%, and I wondered what you thought.
Well, I don't know, Steve, if you had sent a text earlier, did you? Okay, Steve dropped off. If it wasn't Steve, 5786 agrees. I wonder if Joe Wieskamp has some sort of injury, maybe a back injury. That would be part of the reason he's in a slump. He's obviously not right.
I think he's the thing with Joe Wieskamp is he's never been one to hunt shots. And you just got to wonder whether or not when you get into a slump like that, and maybe I'm sure there's something going on. I'm sure that he's not fully healthy. I don't think anybody's fully healthy at this point of the year.
His confidence is shattered for one thing.
But that's the problem. When your confidence gets shattered and you're already kind of a very unselfish player, that's been the thing that that's the book on Joe Wieskamp. He's an unselfish player. He lets the game come to him. When you don't have that confidence and all of a sudden maybe your aggressiveness goes away, you want to see like a guy like that shoot his way out of a slump. But when he's putting up 2 shots a night, it's kind of hard.
I'm very reluctant to pin any loss, including this one, on one guy. But it's very clear Iowa needs Joe Wieskamp to contribute more offensively. He does some nice things. Away from the ball, he's a passer. He can rebound, but it's the points that Iowa's going to need in the future here. 51-23, Matt Painter coaches, Fran just yells. Well, let's look at the standings. 51-23.
I will say that Matt Painter seems to have Fran's number.
He has in recent years. There's no question about it.
He has. And I don't know what it is. I really don't. Because that Purdue team, I don't think is very good. We see flashes. But by and large, that is not a great Purdue team. And they've made Iowa look really bad twice this season.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, it's been in two different fashions. The first game they come out, they hit 19 threes. You think, okay, they're not a good shooting team. That's a blip on the radar. Well, last night, they shoot 27% from beyond the arc?
Mm-hmm.
And they get 21 offensive rebounds. So it seems like whatever they've wanted to do or however they've had to attack Iowa this season, they've been successful at it. And that's a little bit of a cause for concern. The question is, can Iowa regroup and get a win on the road against Illinois? It's not going to be easy.
That coming up Sunday night. You know, there's teams in every sport, Alex, and it's true in baseball. My Twins against the Yankees. Maybe your St. Louis Blues have a nemesis that, damn, it's hard to beat them.
Chicago Blackhawks.
It's true in every sport, and maybe it's true here with Iowa and Purdue. 1345 on the text line. It was old-fashioned Iowa basketball with Fran getting mad, excuse me, and the team not playing as good as they can.
Like I said, I thought in the second half, they came out of the locker room inspired. And they played a much better half, but it just didn't matter. It didn't matter at that point because the first half was so unbelievably grotesque in every facet of the game. I didn't expect that last night, Mark.
No.
I did not expect sort of that lethargic feeling of not being able to convert on either end of the court, not being able to rebound, not being able to defend, not being able to hit shots. I did not expect that, and that's exactly what unfolded. It's hard to break it down to much more than that when you get dominated on the glass the way that they did last night.
I guess the only way to approach it now is on Illinois.
Yeah. And now, but that's the thing. You got to go on the road. What's the narrative going to be that now if they lose to Illinois on Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Iowa would be 11-9 in the Big Ten.
In context,
ahead of expectations.
Exactly. In context, that's ahead of expectations. I think everybody would have taken that preseason. But it's sort of the idea that a lot of people were sitting and hoping that this would be different, that this Iowa team is different. And like I said, I still think that they are. But losing a home game to a 15-14 team on senior night in your final home game of the season when everything was on the line is not going to help that narrative go away.
5786 on the text line. Does anyone know what happened to Cordell Pemsel? He limped off the court and never returned to the game. I personally can't answer that. I don't know if you've heard any updates, Alex, but Pemsel was kind of doubled over and was not. Fran McCaffrey said in his postgame, the transcript I read, is that Pemsel was hit in the same spot, I think, in his leg for like the third or fourth time in recent games. And then in the almost the exact same spot.
And we know that he has troubles with his knees to begin with. Mm-hmm. So you wonder if he's going to just sort of gut this out the rest of the season. There's no way he's anywhere near 100%. We know that, right? Right, Mark?
Yeah.
He's playing on fumes at this point of his career. We know the injuries that he's had, and I guess we'll wait for an update. And the only thing that we had heard was he was doubled over, and Mike Halas said he seemed okay, and I don't think that we got an update following that game, although I do believe that Cordell Pemsel did speak with the media. No, he spoke prior to the game, I should say.
Andy on the text line, among last night's many frustrations, every time Garza got the ball, he was double-teamed. So there should have been someone open, but there never seemed to be. Our colleague Todd Brommelkamp, I believe, was at Carver Hawkeye Arena last night. Maybe you have an update.
Well, I know there's a delay on the office, so you guys have probably were talking about Cordell Pemsel about 15 minutes ago, and I had just made my way in here. Fran said after the game last night, he keeps getting hit in the same spot on the leg that has been bothering him. So it's not a serious injury. It's just he keeps getting hit in the same spot that's been bothering him. And so I would expect to see him against Illinois, but unfortunate situation. You know, you don't want to root for a guy to get hit elsewhere, but he literally has been hit in the exact same spot, I think Fran said, three or four times. So it's making it difficult for that leg injury. Whatever it is, we don't know what it is, but whatever that injury is, it's been made more difficult to fully heal because he keeps getting tweaked there.
Imagine having a thigh bruise and you get hit game after game and it's certainly in the same spot.
When they took him to the training room, it didn't look good. And he was having a little difficulty putting weight on that leg, and I was thinking the worst there. But he did come back later in the game, so it's unfortunate, but you got save the good stuff for 4 o'clock. Save something for 4 o'clock. I'm sitting in the office going, "Holy cow!" By the way, we knew this was going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah. We predicted that last night.
Todd?
No.
Yeah, I need the.
Let me check the podcast.
Let me go check the crow.
No, no. We predicted that Iowa would win. However, we did have the discussion of what would the narrative be on today's show if they didn't.
Mm.
We had that discussion.
The Wieskamp, I'll have what Fran said about Wieskamp afterwards. I think you guys are onto a little something there as far as he's definitely struggling mentally right now.
Yep.
I think he wouldn't come out and say that last night, but Fran did talk about Wieskamp being unselfish to a fault,
right,
where when he does go into a little bit of a slump, he sort of defaults to, he really looks to make that extra pass. And there was one instance last night where he probably should have spotted up, taken the three-pointer. Instead, he put the ball on the floor and drove into the lane, and I don't think anything good happened from it. He's definitely struggling right now, and that's not something that you can just flip a switch. And this is now, what, three games in a row where they've been sort of waiting on him to be Joe Wieskamp. And I don't know whether or not we're going to see Joe Wieskamp the remainder of the season. But tough stuff. I'll go back into the office and get the Fran McCaffrey and some of the player reaction ready. But thought I would come in and let you guys know what was said about Pemsel after the game. So for the fans out there that were worried about him being injured, I don't think it's anything to be too concerned about. But you're playing Illinois, you're playing, God forbid, Purdue again in the Big Ten tournament or something. You need that size, and he gets hit in the exact same spot on that knee or shin or wherever it is. I couldn't quite tell. He's probably going to wind up having to come out of the game. So something to keep an eye on.
Thank you, Todd. Always good to see you. Look forward to your program from 4 to 6.
I've got to go check on the crow. It's in the oven.
Todd Bromenkamp, folks. You can hear him and Alex from 4 to 6 this afternoon, as you can every weekday. Let's take a break right now, Alex. When we come back, the great Mark Ironside will join us and talk about the Big Ten Wrestling Championships coming up this weekend.
It's still Murphy's Bar and Grill in Riverside, a great place to stop and eat on your way to or from the beautiful Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Murphy's Bar and Grill has a nice, relaxed atmosphere where almost everybody knows your name. Plenty of spirits for your pleasure and a huge menu. Everything from incredible ahi to melt-in-your-mouth ribeye. And oh, the lasagna. Mwah! Stop on out to Murphy's Bar and Grill for a great meal and a good time. Highway 22 in Riverside, Murphy.
Where the fun never ends, Murphy's Bar and Grill.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, they're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You work hard, and you deserve to get the most for your money, like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks, so you can choose where you want to go for care, like having multiple plans so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at wellmark.com.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
I don't want to go yet. I want to hear the rest of this. Welcome back. Wednesday's edition of the Gym Class 325. Mark Dukes and Alex Kuhn with you today. Buttons on the other side of the glass. If you have any questions for our next guest, give us a call or a text, 319-366-1600. Mark Ironside joining us, the three-time Big Ten Wrestler of the Year, going back to the Big Ten Championships this weekend at Rutgers, Saturday and Sunday.
Yes,
sir. Is
that
right, Mark?
Yep. Boy, you're digging deep for some credentials there, Mark.
Well, it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, I just haven't heard that for a long time.
Count on me. Mark's appearance brought to you by Kirk Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, over on the west side. Go ahead and visit Kurt on Johnson Avenue, Northwest. Wings up tomorrow, huh?
Yep, wings up, wheels up. We are flying east, getting ready for the second biggest tournament of the season, and everybody is super anxious, let's say that, and ready to go. Very, very anxious and ready to go.
The pre-seeds are out for this weekend's tournament, and as a result, Iowa has all 10 wrestlers in the top three in the seedings. Anything there surprise you?
No, I think Iowa did very well, honestly, with their seeds at pretty much all weights. If we could wrestle to our seeds at all these weights, we're not going to have a problem winning the tournament, that's for sure. To be dead honest with you, I think we did extremely well in our seeds. We don't have anywhere to go but down from there. I mean, maybe a couple of guys could wrestle up a little bit, but definitely some guys could falter and fall and wrestle below their seeds too. So it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. How I look at this is, 133 is just absolutely stacked. It's loaded. Heavyweight stacked and loaded. 65 stacked and loaded. 41 stacked and loaded. I mean, this is the Big Ten tournament. This is what's so fun about the Big Ten tournament is you go into here. The first round, now that you have like 14 teams into this, it's not quite what it used to be. First round where you wrestle, some unbelievable head-to-head matches, but you start getting into that second quarterfinal round, and it is just absolutely dynamite wrestling. And it's one of those situations where they got four mats going at once. You just want to stop the other three mats and not start those matches until this one finishes, and just so we can watch one at a time. And you're doing a lot of, you're doing a lot of scrolling with your eyes. You're trying to keep your eyes on the Iowa guy while you're calling the radio, but at the same time, your eyes are sneaking over to another mat because it's a great match going on, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a fantastic tournament. I know that last year, a lot of people with the Big Ten tournament up in Minnesota went to that and didn't go to the Nationals because the Nationals were out in Pittsburgh. This year, Rutgers is was an extremely tough ticket to get because they've been gone for so long. that it's almost, you know, just kind of luck of the draw, StubHub or something to try and find tickets now. I mean, I don't know exactly what the arena seats, but it's not very big at all whatsoever. The floor space is very small. It's going to be hard to get four mats onto that floor space and the tables. Not sure what they're going to have for a warm-up area. I don't know how all that works, but do you know how long it was that Maryland and Rutgers got added to the Big Ten after Nebraska?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, about how many years?
After Nebraska? Yeah. Alex is going to get on that.
Three years, probably four years.
At least.
And somehow, though, Nebraska, Rutgers is hosting the Nationals, or I'm sorry, the Big Tens before Nebraska. Nebraska hasn't had an opportunity to do it yet, too. So I don't know how that works, but I'm kind of surprised by that. And I was just kind of hoping that by the time it got around to Rutgers that they would have a little bit better facility, a bigger facility or different facility to choose from to be able to accommodate the tournament. And with that being said, it's going to be a spectacular, jam-packed, action-packed, fans all right on top of you, a loud tournament, and probably not a whole lot of Iowa fans in there.
You had it right, Mark. 3 years.
3 years.
So,
Nebraska joined in 2011, and then the other two in 2014.
Yeah, so... Okay. Maryland hasn't hosted it yet, but I'm just kind of surprised, you know, 3 years difference there, and Nebraska hasn't had the opportunity. I'm sure there's something there, but typically what they do is they rotate it, you know, from school to school on a, you know, basis of, you know, first, you know.
Would you like to see it at a permanent site rather than at different campuses?
No. I like it how it is. I think it's fair that they go from school to school to school, as long as they have a facility that can accommodate, which most Big Ten schools do. You know, you wouldn't, like, say when we went to Purdue, you're not going to wrestle in the gymnasium that we wrestle the dual meet in, but, you know, we wrestle in Mackey Arena. It's a perfect facility. Rutgers, they're just this facility. I mean, assuming it's a facility they play basketball in. I don't even know the name of this facility.
The Rack.
It's just not big at all. I mean, I remember when we went there for a dual meet and it was, you know, sold out and it just, it's like, this is all they got, but... I don't know. Whatever, I guess. The mats are going to be down the mat, and the whistles are going to blow, and there's going to be some scrapping involved. So hopefully the Hawkeyes can wrestle to their seeds, come out on top, stay healthy, come out injury-free, and onward, as Tom Brands would say right now.
You got capacity for the Rack, Alex?
I will in just a second.
All right, let me ask you a question here, Mark. Tom Brands, as successful as he's been, has never had more than two Big Ten champions in any given year. I think that probably speaks to the strength and depth of the Big Ten more than anything else. Will that change this year?
Probably not. I think that we could definitely get two. I mean, we have two number one seeds. That doesn't mean that, you know, that's a lock, but... I think Spencer Lee's a lock for sure. I mean, Spencer Lee is in a league of his own, and there's really not 125 pounds is probably the weakest weight that there is. Michael Kemmerer, he's got a tough, you know, Mark Hall to go after. I know that he handled him in the dual meet, but, you know, this is a new day, new tournament. So that's no gimme, but those are our two number one seeds. But we have other guys, you know, Austin DeSanto, he could win it. Alex Marinelli could win it. Those are the only two people I probably see that, you know, on top of, you know, Lee and Kemmerer that probably could win it. You know, I guess Pat Lugo could possibly win it there too. So, I mean, it's a possibility that we could get more than two, but I don't know. I think probably two is where we'd be at, but we could definitely have three and possibly even four.
Capacity at the Rack, Alex, is?
8,000.
8,000.
And that's pushing it.
See, I don't think you can get 8,000 in there with four mats on the floor. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying.
That's for basketball.
That's for basketball. And you put four mats on that floor, now you're going to lose at least probably 1,000 seats. That's why I'm thinking around 7,000 people. I mean, think about that. That's half of Carver Hawkeye Arena?
It's a five-season center.
Is that what that is?
Or US Cellular Center.
Yeah.
It's showing my age there.
Yeah, 1986. Mark Dukes over here.
Curious to see what Abe Assad will give the Hawkeyes.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Abe back in the lineup. I think that he's going to come. He's going to do extremely well. I think he's healthy. I think everything's good about him. I think he's a solid wrestler. I look for good things out of Abe Assad. He's the number three seed going in. Cameron Brooks out of Penn State, who whipped him pretty good in the Penn State duel, and then Cameron Caffey out of Michigan State, who he wrestled an unbelievably tight, close match with at Michigan State, which was the last time he wrestled. He got hurt during that match. A lot of people don't know that, but that was a tight, tight match. So that'll, if everything works out, that'll be the semifinal match, and that's a match that we could overcome and work our way at least into the finals and climb the ladder in our seed there a little, wrestle
above
our
seed. No question, it is Assad and not Wilkie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
So, what else you got? I mean, it's pretty black and white. I mean, right now, everything's done. I mean, it's just...
It's just Iowa, Penn State, right?
It's a matter of just going and wrestling them out, you know? And, yeah, I see it as Iowa and Penn State. You know, Wisconsin could be kind of sneaky and probably work their way up to third, you know, Wisconsin. It's going to be interesting to see who's third between Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. And you can't honestly count out Michigan either. Next year, Michigan is going to be really tough. Really tough.
This Olympic year has kind of skewed things in some programs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. A lot of programs, you know, to where, you know, Michigan has like three different guys out, maybe even four, but three different guys out for sure that, you know, that their team next year is going to be an extremely, extremely tough team. You know, Edinburgh has Suriano out, so there's one less guy at 33 nationally wise. Fix is out of the lineup. You know, he's Olympic red shirt for Oklahoma State. So it's not you know, the jam packed filled national tournament, but the Big Ten tournament. Besides Michigan, that you're not missing a whole lot. Suriano, I guess at he's at, where is he? He's at Edinburgh now. No, Rutgers. He was at Rutgers. Yeah. He's at Rutgers, so he's not there. Can you imagine if Suriano was in there at 33 mm-hmm. right now? Holy smokes. You think 33's loaded now? Gross will be a senior, so he's a senior, so he'll be gone next year. But you replace him with Suriano, that's still going to be a loaded 33-pound weight class next year.
This is off the beaten track a little bit, but the Hawkeye Wrestling Club, members of it, travel abroad quite a bit. And I don't know if anything's coming up or whatever, but with the coronavirus... I'm curious if the club or university is taking any stance in that regard.
I don't know. I haven't heard nothing. I don't know. I mean, I really don't. I haven't heard.
Would you be worried if you were going to China?
No. Wash my hands and not lick anybody else's suckers or popsicles, and I should be good to go. I mean, it's just basically you treat it just like you do the flu. You just, as long as you stay good hygiene, and you should be fine. And, you know, if you got a really weak immune system, you know, and you're kind of acceptable to you getting sick on a regular basis, and you're kind of prone, you know, you're gonna be in trouble probably for that. But I think as long as you're in good health and have good hygiene, I think you'll be fine. I'm not worried, but I think that it's just kind of getting a lot more attention than probably what it needs. But that's just me. I'm not a doctor, but.
Talking to Mark Ironside on today's edition of the Gym Class, previewing the Big Ten Championships. With all the qualifiers, and the Big Ten has the most of any, you know, by far, should be no problem getting 10 to Nationals.
I mean, we're top three at every weight. If we don't get all 10 to Nationals, somebody's going to have to falter pretty good. And pretty slip up. I mean,
I think the fewest at any weight is six, right?
I think so. I looked at it, but I didn't look at it in too much depth, and I didn't do that because I really wasn't worried about us not qualifying all 10. And so I mean, we should be pretty. I think the least amount of weight class we're going to qualify is 125 pounds, and he's the least of my worries out of Spencer Lee.
The Big Ten will have six qualifiers at 57 and 97, seven at 133 and 285. Eight at 125, 141, and 165. Nine at 174. And 10 at 49 and 84. I see you looking at your sheet there, Mark.
Yeah. What'd you say? 57 is only six.
57 and 97 are six.
Yeah. I mean, those two weights were vulnerable. I mean, I know that, you know, we're number three seeds and we're ranked up there, but we're vulnerable. I mean, 97, we got beat by, you know, the backup Nebraska guy. 57, we got beat by an unranked guy the last time out from Oklahoma State. I mean, we're vulnerable. We've shown some vulnerability there. We just need to make sure we show up, we wrestle, and we put as many points on the scoreboard from the first whistle to the last. There's too many close matches in there that don't have to be close. And that's the frustrating thing is we're not – and the same thing for 149. We just need to make sure that we're – being smart and not throwing caution at the wind when we don't need to, but there's a lot of points being left out on those matches that we could be getting, and these matches don't have to be as close as they are. If they go out and wrestle up to their capabilities and do what they're capable of, then there will be no issues.
Another guy I'm really curious about is Caleb Young at 157. Because we've seen him be really good and seen him just squeak along.
Yeah, and he's one that I was just kind of talking about and mentioning, and he just lost to, I think, the Oklahoma State guy, unseeded guy, or not unseeded, but unranked guy from Oklahoma State. And you just need to come out and start scoring from that first whistle, and you just don't let up. You never know when all of a sudden, especially now with these four-point near falls, you're in on a shot, all of a sudden you slip on a wet spot, your heel gets stuck in the mat, you get ran over, and next thing you know, that's a six-point move, four near fall, two takedowns. 6 points can be, you know, someone gets 6 points on someone else in a hurry right now, and that's why you can't just sit around on a 1-2-3 point lead. You just never know, and that's why you need to continue to keep scoring and as much as possible and as often as possible from the first whistle to the last. So, I think the Iowa's going to do a great job. I really do. I think that the weather, just being nice around here is really uplifting. I think the guys are getting super excited. We're going to hop on a plane tomorrow. They're excited about having a charter plane, which never happens for the Iowa wrestling team, shockingly. But it's a lot of fun, a lot of excitement now. And it just, being kind of the top dog right now and going in, they're not like going in like thinking they have it by any means. They're going in to prove that they deserve it. And that's what's really fun about this team and these guys. And they're just having a lot of fun. You know what they're excited about? They're excited to get out of that wrestling room.
Yeah.
And to get into a new environment and go out and display their talents. That's what these guys are all about. And it's fun to watch them is because they just love to go out and perform.
Action gets underway at 10 o'clock Saturday. It concludes 3:30 championship finals on Sunday.
Those are East Coast times.
I'm sorry. So, wisecracker.
I just wanted to make sure you weren't feeding false information out there. Someone didn't just turn on the radio at 10 o'clock Iowa time and they're like,
"You're going to be out there. It's going to be 10 o'clock.
It will be 10 o'clock.
9
for
o'clock
me.
Central time.
Correct.
Thank you, Mark. But, I know you're looking forward to the Division III championships as well. The regionals won by Loras,
yeah,
which is a preseason number one. We know it defeated Wartburg, but finishing second. It's all about the number of qualifiers. I think Coe had four, Wartburg five. But that's going to be an interesting meet as well here in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, we're right down the U.S. Cell Center and former five-seed center. I am going down to that. I'm looking forward to it.
What did I do to you?
You didn't do nothing. I love you, Dukes. I do. I still think it and say it sometimes myself. So, that tournament is awesome. It's very well attended here in Cedar Rapids. It's between the Big Tens and the Nationals every year. I love the fact that it's here then. I will be in Cedar Falls earlier that evening or day, and I'm going to be rushing right back so I can watch, probably miss the 125-pound final, but I'll get back to watch those finals as well, too. Mm. So I'll be in attendance there and to see some really good final wrestling, hopefully to watch some, local schools and some good wrestling there at the Division III level.
By the way, Dick Simmons is going to join us next week.
Perfect.
To talk about the Division III.
That's awesome. He's the man for the job.
He really is, and look forward to talking to Dick next week. One last question before we let you go. That coming on the text line, 25-23. How does the Big Ten seed affect the national seed?
The seed, I don't believe, it doesn't affect it at all.
The finish would.
The finish, yes, but the seed, nothing. It's just all it strictly is just Big Ten and Big Ten only. So it's just a matter of how you do at the Big Tens. I mean, if you're the number three seed at the Big Tens, but you end up getting seventh, then that number three seed doesn't weigh anything. It doesn't do you any good just because you were seed third. They're going to go off of your wins and losses and head-to-head and all that good stuff going into nationals. So, or if you were the seventh seed and you end up getting third, well, then you're doing yourself a lot of good there because you obviously just won some matches, some good head-to-head and record and so forth too. So you're building your RPI. So, yeah, seeds going into the Big Tens have nothing to do with anything but the Big Tens.
All right, Mark, we'll let you go, and I hope you have a good trip out to Piscataway, New Jersey. We'll be listening, and we'll visit next week and recap the tournament and look forward to the Big Ten Championships. And you want to do a little arm drag on your way by me? Go for it.
I wouldn't do that to you. But lots to talk about next week. I'm really looking forward to it. People can tune in on the radio. I think it's on Flow, and then I'm sure the finals are on Big Ten Network as well, too. So going to be an absolutely exciting tournament. I know that people are buying tickets and shirts and everything else in the world, and they're going to be heading north in droves to Minneapolis. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The most exciting time of the year is here.
Yeah, the Big Ten Championship finals will be on Sunday at 2:30 Central Time.
Yes.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk to you
all
next week.
See you guys. Thanks for having me again.
You betcha. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll have more in the gym class after this.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Wipers squeaking and streaking? Now's the time to change your wipers and get ready for those spring showers. We've got the deals to help you prep your ride. Right now, if you buy two Bosch Envision wiper blades, you'll get a $15 AutoZone gift card by mail or email. And next time, you can get what you need even faster. Just order online at AutoZone.com with our free same-day store pickup. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
When Allstate agents and employees go to work every day, their number one priority is protecting what matters most to you. For military veterans, that instinct to protect also comes naturally. No wonder thousands of veterans build good careers with Allstate. And now, Allstate is ranked the number one employer on the 2020 Military Friendly Employers list. You're in good hands with Allstate.
For career opportunities or to get a quote, contact Allstate today. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
There's something out there for you and me. And the American road is calling. So what's it gonna be? Hey, it's an amazing day. Traveling our own highway. No matter where it leads us, we can smile. Cause it's leaning in the mile.
Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Capital One presents a 30-second audio tour of Ireland. Sheep, fairies, golf, charming castle.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know you can actually go there when you use the Capital One Venture Card. You earn unlimited double miles on every dollar you spend on every purchase, which means you'll have plenty of miles to actually travel to Ireland. The Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA N.A.
Welcome back to the last 10 minutes or so of the gym class on KGYM. Mark Dukes and Alex Kuhn, along with Buttons, here to bring you home toward the top of the hour. It's again Scott Unash. He and Danny Gettle called a wonderful game this morning in which North Linn defeated Western Christian 49-44. North Linn will be playing in the state semifinals on Friday at 11:45. Thanks to Mark Ironside, and thanks to Kirk Gustafson and his team at American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest, and sponsoring Mark's segment. Once again, we'll visit with Mark again next week after we know the results of the Big Ten Championships. The National Football League, I heard this today. Wasn't a joke, was it?
No.
San Francisco and New England interested in trading quarterbacks Is that the crux of it, Alex?
I don't.
Tom Brady for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, I don't understand that, but the crux of it was that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick had a phone call this morning, apparently, and it, quote, did not go well. That was the crux of the discussion today.
Okay.
Now, we had heard reports from last week from Jeff Darlington that he would be shocked if Tom Brady returned to the Patriots. It would be even more shocking now, since clearly Tom Brady's camp leaked this information. But I guess my question is, if you're Tom Brady, like, what did you expect? Did you expect that Bill Belichick was going to be all warm and fuzzy and, oh, we really want you to come back? Has Bill Belichick ever done that with any player ever in the history of the NFL?
No.
No. He never has. And he's not going to do it with a 43-year-old declining quarterback. And does that sound harsh? Yeah, it does.
Who would get the better end of that deal?
Are we back to the Garoppolo? It would be really stupid for the 49ers to do something like that. But I just don't buy into that at all. But what I buy into is the fact that Tom Brady is coming up on free agency and has a chance to sign somewhere else, and I think he's going to. He's going to sign somewhere else. It's looking more and more apparent that that's going to be the case.
Personally, I think there's way too much emphasis on Tom Brady. I mean, he's in the twilight of man, isn't he? Even though he threw 24 and had 8 picks last year?
Yeah.
Pretty good season. Not great. Not what Tom Brady, when he's putting up 50.
But you're seeing, like you said, you're seeing the decline of his skill set. He wasn't a strong arm quarterback to begin with, and now he's older. He's 43 years old, and it's clearly getting worse. And yet you can talk about the weapons around him all you want, but when has that ever mattered?
Mm-hmm.
When during his career has that ever been a point of emphasis of, wow, well, they just don't have enough around him? He's done well with what's been in that system except for last year. And you can, I think the biggest thing that people are missing is the loss of Rob Gronkowski and not having that level of tight end there. But this is going to be fascinating, because
don't you think we have to get some resolution on Brady before April 23rd in the NFL draft? Or don't we?
I don't know. I don't think you'd hope so, but you would logically, that would be a yes, because the Chargers have a high pick. The Indianapolis Colts are picking in the first round. All these teams that need a quarterback have a selection in the first round. And there are only a finite number of quarterbacks available in the draft. We chatted with Dan Shanka yesterday of Arled Scouting Report, or Arled Scouting Service, I should say. And I asked him, who's the third best quarterback? I wasn't trying to get him to say anybody other than Justin Herbert, but I'm not sold on Justin Herbert or anybody beyond the top two. So Joe Burrow's going number one. And then what happens with Tua? Are we going to see 5 or 6 teams trying to trade up to get him, not confident in Justin Herbert? Are we going to see teams trying to trade up to get Justin Herbert? There's this domino effect that Tom Brady's free agency is going to cause the entire league, that you would think it would need to be done before the draft, but I guess there's nothing that says it has to be.
You wait and see. Justin Fields or Jalen Hurts or somebody like that in 5 years is going to be a bigger star than these two guys. Just wait and see. I'm not predicting that.
Jalen Hurts? I've made the comparison already. Jalen Hurts and Taysom Hill, kind of that same idea. If they go to the right place, there's something to work with there. There's absolutely something to work with.
Well, we'll see if there's any legs to this 49er Patriot Brady Garoppolo story down the road here. Let's take one last break, and we'll get you a Bowling Night in America update, let you know what's coming up on tomorrow's show after this.
You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Basketball season is heating up. It's the time when the standings begin to take shape and real competitors discover just how far they can go.
Goodyear knows the road to the playoffs takes the right amount of momentum and drive, and that movement is the path to discovering your true potential.
So on your drive, Goodyear wants to help you discover your own possibilities, no matter where the road leads.
When it comes to choosing tires, visit Goodyear.com and pursue the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Wipers squeaking and streaking? Now's the time to change your wipers and get ready for those spring showers. We've got the deals to help you prep your ride. Right now, if you buy two Bosch Envision wiper blades, you'll get a $15 AutoZone gift card by mail or email. And next time, you can get what you need even faster. Just order online at AutoZone.com with our free same-day store pickup. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
There's never been a better time to be a doer. Not with the Home Depot in your corner. And new digital tools on our Home Depot app, like image search. Snap a picture with our app, find just what you need. And our product locator will not only tell you how many we've got, it'll lead you right to them in the store. Oh, and if you can't make it to the store, we can deliver. From time-saving tools to game-changing innovations, it's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome back, 356 on this Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn, Buttons with you today. I'm going to put a bow on this show and let you know what's coming up tomorrow. I do want to get to the Emil's Hideaway poll question that is available to you at KGYMradio.com. We talked earlier about last night's Iowa-Purdue game. Here's the question. Which Big Ten loss this season is the most frustrating? Would it be at Nebraska, at Purdue, at Michigan State, or last night? Thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
It's going to be very interesting to see how that one gets voted out, because I think that if you when you look back at the season when this is all said and done, and say play the what-if game, which you do after every season, at home against Purdue and on the road against Nebraska are going to be the ones that may keep Iowa out of that top four seed range.
This game is freshest in people's mind. I wouldn't be surprised if it won. If I was voting, in fact, I'm going to right now. At Nebraska.
It's a pretty inexcusable loss for sure.
Yeah. No excuses tonight for the Rusty Nails. We'll be on the lanes. I won't. Scott Unash will. And he's very much looking forward to that. Leading the troops tonight against Grill Works. Our friends Buzz and Wayne and Brian. And Brian is Buzz. I'm sorry. that whole crew. It's always fun. They always accuse me of dodging them.
Are you dodging
them?
I make the
schedule out in July, not knowing who we're playing. But Buzz, if you and I think I'm dodging you, go ahead. I'm gonna have my teammates take it out on you tonight. Lanes 21 and 22 out there at May City Bowl. And congratulations to Tom and his wife. 25-year anniversary of running May City Bowl. That's a great, great thing. And if you want to take advantage of anything in the pro shop out there, open bowling. I know summer leagues will be forming soon, if not already. Give them a call, 362-0136. Visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com. I want to thank again Mark Ironside for his appearance today and every Wednesday in the Gym Class talking about wrestling. one of the more popular segments that we have in terms of the input that I get anyway. And Mark's just very good at what he does. I'll be interested to see what happens in that tournament out at Rutgers. Tomorrow, Smokin' Dave Kochan gives us the Las Vegas perspective. He's big into pucks, and so are you. So maybe you'll have something in common tomorrow.
We'll bounce some hockey ideas off of each other.
And Kevin Lehman, the coach, with his Off the Glass segment, talking about all things college basketball, Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. Going to get underway. I know Kevin has the Drake Illinois State game tomorrow night at 6. So very much looking forward to talking with Kevin and Dave Kochan tomorrow. And we've got in the next 2 hours the Todd Bromkamp show with Alex Kuhn.
We do. Gary Rima is going to be joining us to preview Arch Madness.
Thanks to you. Thanks to Buttons. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM.